It's Super Tuesday. Today, voters in 14 states plus American Samoa get to weigh in on the Democratic presidential primary. Later in the show, we find out how Super Tuesday came to be. But first, the race itself. The makeup of the Democratic primary field dramatically shifted in the last few days. Amy Klobuchar dropped out of the race on Monday. Her announcement came less than 24 hours after Pete Buttigieg also called it quits. Both candidates are now endorsing Joe Biden. And in the same breath, Buttigieg also acknowledged the significance of his run. He was the first major openly LGBTQ contender for the White House.
And we sent a message to every kid out there wondering if whatever marks them out as different means they are somehow destined to be less than. To see that someone who once felt that exact same way can become a leading American presidential candidate with his husband at his side.
And here's what may surprise you. Despite the unprecedented nature of his run, most LGBTQ voters did not have Buttigieg's back. According to a Morning Consult poll from late January, 34% of LGBTQ primary voters backed Bernie Sanders, and only 12% listed Buttigieg as their first choice candidate. Now, just because his run didn't connect with most LGBTQ voters, it doesn't mean his attempt to get to the White House wasn't meaningful for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, non-conforming politicians.
Growing up, I never imagined that there could be a presidential candidate like Mayor Pete. My name is Mondaire Jones. I am a candidate for the Democratic nomination in New York's 17th Congressional District. And if elected, I would make history as the first openly gay black member of Congress.
Mondaire hasn't publicly endorsed any of the 2020 candidates, although he has received an endorsement from Senator Elizabeth Warren. Putting policy aside, the New York politician says Buttigieg's campaign did show how far the LGBTQ movement has come in the United States political scene.
He is someone who I think for so many members of the LGBTQ plus community, myself included, has provided inspiration and affirmation of the idea that things really do get better for the community as time passes, that you can be your authentic self and still excel at the highest levels of our society.
But Mondaire says the mayor also fell short in several key areas.
You know, one thing that he would probably tell you, and one thing that he has said publicly, is that he needs to do more work in terms of developing a relationship to communities of color, in particular the black community. And also, I think in speaking to the urgency of this moment from a policy perspective, queer people of color are more likely to be homeless, are more likely to have difficulty accessing necessary medical care, are more likely to have student debt. And when you look at some of his proposals, they simply do not go far enough.
Overall, what Mondaire is most excited about is the example that candidates like himself and Buttigieg have set for the next generation of openly LGBTQ politicians and hopefuls.
It is just so important that people like myself and Pete provide an example for other people, young and old, by the way, who are still struggling to come out. I just would not have it any other way. And I'm glad to have been running largely at the same time that his campaign existed for the presidency.
And Jonathan Capehart is here with us. He's an opinion writer for The Washington Post and hosts the Cape Up podcast. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Duarte.
So, Jonathan, how significant do you view Pete Buttigieg's candidacy?
It's significant in that he was the first LGBTQ American to make a credible run for the White House. And I make that distinction for a reason. He's not the first LGBTQ, openly LGBTQ person to run. Remember, Fred Karger ran for the Republican nomination for president in 2012. He was the first LGBTQ person to run. But Mayor Pete was the candidate who was able to take it this far. Not only did he get into the race, not only did he make a credible run for it, that CNN town hall he did last March put him on the national scene a few months earlier than he had hoped. He then goes on to win the most delegates in the Iowa caucuses.
Is that what made him credible, do you think? Is it because he won so much in the Iowa caucuses? Or is there something else for budding LGBTQ politicians that they should take away from Buttigieg in terms of credibility?
Well, I mean, it has to do with Mayor Pete being authentically himself and not hiding who he is, not hiding his husband, not hiding their affection for each other, and putting LGBTQ issues front and center with all of the issues that we're facing the country. He's running to be president of the United States, who also happens to be proudly LGBTQ. And so I think what candidates, LGBTQ candidates running across the country should take from Mayor Pete is that if you are authentically yourself and your message resonates with people, the people will rally around you.
Did the LGBT community actually support him? Because there's some data out there that despite the fact that Buttigieg is an inspiration, he didn't actually have the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered vote on lockdown.
No. And, you know, I think that's asking a lot of voters, no matter who they are. Let's keep in mind, Senators Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, African-Americans, were running for president, and they couldn't get the black vote on lockdown. And it wasn't because African Americans didn't like them, didn't respect them, didn't think they would be good. It's just that African American voters, as we saw in the South Carolina primary, they already had a candidate, generally speaking, and that's former Vice President Joe Biden. And as I'd written and have reminded people, as long as Joe Biden was in the race, no candidate in the campaign could expect to get a majority of black support. And so I think with Mayor Pete, he discovered what all candidates from a marginalized community discover, and that is just because you belong to a marginalized community does not guarantee that that community will automatically support you.
When we think about his support, the assumption is that he had a lot of white gay men who were supporting him. Now, you mentioned that he needed to make some inroads with people of color. Do you think that he can actually change that perspective to bring in more people of color, more women to his support base?
I actually think he can, and he can look to the example of Vice President Biden for that. Vice President Biden has been on the American political scene since he was in his 30s, youngest member elected to the U.S. Senate when he got into the Senate. And one of the reasons why Biden did so well in South Carolina is not only because of the support among African Americans, it was the depth and longevity of their support of him, and also his support of them in South Carolina. If you read the stories and look at Biden's history, he has a relationship with South Carolina that goes back 40 years. And it's not just through campaigns. It's through visiting with his old friend, the former Senator Fritz Hollings from South Carolina, spending time there, building relationships. Those are the sorts of things that Mayor Pete can now do going forward, not only making friends, building relationships, but then strengthening those relationships so that when he does make more credible runs for higher office, that he has relationships to fall back on, not only for political support, but for advice and counsel.
See, at the beginning of the show, you heard from Mondaire Jones. Some members of the LGBT community didn't agree with Buttigieg on policy issues. What do you make of people who say he wasn't progressive or intersectional enough?
Well, see, here's the thing. Just because someone is LGBTQ does not guarantee or mean that they are automatically progressive. In the same way that I remember way back when I was making the case that just because someone was LGBTQ doesn't automatically make them a Democrat, that it is possible to be a part of the community and be a conservative or be a Republican or be a moderate, that you did not have to support progressive causes if that was not where your heart and soul were. And so I think we have to, in the LGBTQ community, understand that we, as we love to have the rainbow flag and the rainbow colors talking about the span of who we are, we have to have that apply to our political views as well.
Pete Buttigieg is also a man of faith. How much did his faith play a role in this campaign? How did people view that as a gay man who's married, who also goes to church?
I think for Mayor Pete, his being LGBTQ is integral to who he is, and so is his faith. It's something that guides him. We've seen politicians for decades now who talk about their faith and walk in their faith, as my mother would say. And you can tell when it's genuine and you can tell when it's not. And with Mayor Pete, it's very genuine. And I think what he was doing by talking so openly about his faith is that he's trying to open the eyes of the country that LGBTQ people are people of faith, that there are people of faith, and that they should be welcomed, and that they are welcomed in houses of worship. But also what he's trying to do by openly talking about his faith is snatching back faith for the Democratic Party and snatching it back in a positive way, showing that faith and religion are open and welcoming, unlike the way it's used in the conservative movement as something that's exclusionary and, in a lot of cases, particularly with LGBTQ people, harmful.
Thank you so much. Jonathan Capehart is an opinion writer for The Washington Post. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Duarte.
Hi, it's Theo Louis from New York City. With Buttigieg, what he did is promising, optimistic, and uplifting that after a black man is president for 8 years, that a gay brother was one of the leading contenders out of 24, with a huge following running openly and hailing from the Midwest, embracing his Christian faith, shows that despite some strides taken back lately, there is progress, especially bolstered by young voters.
Hi, my name is Shelley, and I'm calling from Davis, California. He absolutely has made a huge difference for the LGBTQ community. I saw him at a fundraiser in West Sacramento, set up monthly campaign donations, have a bumper sticker on my car, a lawn sign in my front yard, and I'm wearing a Pete 2020 t-shirt right now, even though he suspended his campaign. I have never done any of this for a political candidate before.
This is Renee, and I have to say, I absolutely love Pete Buttigieg. His knowledge and manner actually reminded me very much of Barack Obama, and I feel he was the best choice in the whole field. But unfortunately, you know, America's not ready for a gay president, just like they're not ready for a female one.
Pete was my top choice. He agreed with me on most of the issues, but right behind that was about five of the candidates in second place. So I'm going to be happy to vote for whoever is left.
This is The Takeaway. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to comment on any story or give us your thoughts on any topic. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at The Takeaway. Let us know what you think.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.